My dad loved to deliver the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise his name and to worship him. We hope today's service, Christ Came to Provide a Sacrifice for Sin, will be of encouragement to you as we continue our study on the reasons for the incarnation.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy we could come into your home today. Thank you for opening the door. And the month of December now, we've been talking about why did Jesus come? And we've had two of the sermons already. First of all, he came to reveal the invisible God. And then he came to fulfill prophecy. And now today we're going to have a message on he came to provide a sacrifice for sin. But before we do that, let me read some of the letters, just some of the letters. We get so many nice ones, but I just like to share them with you. And here's one, here's from a young man. He's in the Demaria, New York prison. And he says, it gives me such pleasure to write this letter because I've been listening to your preaching every Sunday morning. It brings such honor and joy to hear you preach the word of God. He says, I took up the cross and was walking with the Lord, but I let the devil feed me along the way, and I drifted from the Lord, and now I'm in prison. I don't want my soul to be lost, so I'm asking all the brothers and sisters in Christ to remember me in their prayers. May the good Lord bless and keep you always in the faith with the brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here's a young man. He's in prison. We wrote to him. We sent him literature. And he won't lose his salvation. If he trusts in Jesus, he's safe and secure. And that's the beauty of it. When he takes us in his hand, he holds us, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here's Grand Junction, Colorado. I happened to stop in your on your show. I happened to stop on your show. I now know it wasn't by accident. I've had a few friends that committed suicide. Now I'm being told that they lost their salvation, say they took their lives out of Jesus' hand. Please send me your book that on suicide, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? I need to know how to defend my biblical view. And so we do have booklets. They're about 12 pages long, and we send them on a free will offering basis. And you get your pencil and paper, and at the close of the service, I'll give you the address, how you can get them. Here's Tampa, Florida. You and the team are a bright light in a world that seems it would rather live in darkness. Well, that's exactly right. That's what Jesus told us in John 3:19. He says they love darkness rather than light. And then Jesus tells us why they love darkness rather than light. He says, because their deeds were evil. They were evil in the sight of God, sinful in the sight of God. And they didn't want the light to expose it. Let's see, we got time for one more. Here's Fargo, North Dakota. I watch you every Sunday. My week is not the same without your Sunday sermon. You changed my life to bring the Lord to me, and everything is better. I open my door to the Lord to my life, open the door to the Lord to my heart, and I'm a different person, and I am so blessed. Your program is teaching so many lives and touching so many lives. Keep up the good work and all the people behind the scenes, and God bless you. And so here's a person that's been born again. And you want to have that joy and that peace. I don't say you're going to all get rich and all the rest, or you're going to get out of your sickness or something. You might. But I know one thing. If you accept Jesus, you can have peace and joy in your heart. And you'll be a changed person. And I'll tell you how you can get it. You just say, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And if you pray that, you're a child of God. In John 5:24, Jesus tells us, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word, you've heard it, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life. That minute, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life, John 5:24. So I just hope and pray you've opened your heart to the Lord. And if you have, you can write to us and get your pencil and paper ready. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. But let's look at our sermon for today. We're talking about how the reason that Jesus came, and he came to reveal the invisible God, to fulfill prophecy. And now we're going to study about how that he came to be a sacrifice for our sins. When sin entered the human race in the Garden of Eden, it brought about a terrible problem. The problem simply stated was that one man cannot enter the abode of God if he has sin. You cannot go to heaven if you have any sin, one speck of a sin. Sin has to be dealt with, and you have to pay for that sin with our own soul in a Christless eternity, or else somebody has to pay it for us. And that's the gospel. And that's wonderful. God came to pay that price for us. Adam and Eve sinned. They were told that they were given garments. They were told that they took garments and made them out of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. They knew they were sin. They were ashamed of their sin. They covered themselves with the fig leaves. But fig leaves do not cover a man's guilt, or a woman's guilt in the sight of God. He still saw their sin and their nakedness. And then we're told that God did something. He made coats of skins and clothed them, Genesis 3:21. So their sin and nakedness was covered by the coat of skins the Lord had made. That is, some animal had to die. Some animal, listen to me, some animal had to shed its blood and give its life so that the sinning pair could be clothed in the sight of God. Now bring that all up to the present day. Here we are today, like Adam and Eve, our first parents. We've all sinned. Now we didn't eat any of the forbidden fruit, that's for sure. Sin but simply means there are different ways to sin. And sin means to miss the mark, to fall short of the mark. And God has two marks. In the Old Testament, he had one mark or one standard, and that is, in the Old Testament, he said that you had to keep the Ten Commandments, and if you could keep all the Ten Commandments and not break a single one, then you'd be all right. But if you broke one single commandment, sassed your parents, didn't show respect or something like that, then you're guilty of all Ten Commandments. And you're also in the Old Testament, everybody sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. So then when you come to the New Testament, God has a new standard, and that is Jesus Christ, the example of Jesus Christ. And so we have to live to be him, and we have to be like him, and we have to be like him. We have to be perfect. And so none of us are perfect. And so we're all sinners. And God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God tells us the wages of sin is death. And so we are in a predicament. That's eternal death. It's not that we're just going to die, but it means we're going to go into hell. Because if we have one speck of sin when we die upon us, we can never, ever enter heaven. God will not have one speck of sin in heaven. It'll be a perfect paradise, a perfect place. And so God tells us that all die in their sins are going to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. The prospects are about as bright as the bottomless pit for us. And what are we going to do with our sins? How are we going to get rid of our sins? Who's going to pay for them? Think of it. We are lost because of our sins. We're without hope and without God. Paul makes a perfect statement about this hopeless plight of lost humanity. He says in Romans 5:8-9, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were sinners, yet Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come." Paul says we are all sinners, but while we were sinners, Christ came and died, and he went to the cross, and he shed his blood to pay for the sins of the world, and all of our sins, he paid for them in full. Christ made it possible for us to be justified before God and to go into heaven because we're clothed in his righteousness and our sins are washed away. come now, God says, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be like wool. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be just as white as the snow. And so, where are you today? Are you still in your sins on the way to hell? Or have you come to Jesus? Come to Jesus now. Pray that prayer that I said. Just call on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And so there's only one way out for the world, a lost world, and it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is receiving Jesus Christ by faith. It is being washed in the blood of the Lamb. So that as that is the reason Jesus was born, that's why we have the incarnation. Next week we're going to have Christmas Eve. The coming of Christ is born into this world. The incarnation, the enfleshment. The incarnation just means God taking upon himself flesh without sin. The reason was so that he could grow to manhood. He took that body so he could grow to manhood. And as a man and God die upon a cross, and God cannot die, but Jesus as a man, as a human being with us, could die and did die and paid for us with his own blood. Remember how he said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that was the goal of Jesus Christ. He came to this world to redeem us. And that was the Father's goal too. He gave his Son to shed his blood and pay for our sins. And that's the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ coming to save us from our sins and our iniquities. Let's look at that crimson blood. Let's look at that crimson thread that runs all the way from book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. All through the Bible, you have that thread of blood, that ribbon of blood, that river of blood flowing from the Son of God to pay for the sins of the world. It starts in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 in verse 15. And God is putting judgment upon Adam and Eve because of their sin and also on the devil because he caused it. And this is what it is, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman. There's only one seed of the woman in all of the world, and that's Jesus Christ. All the rest are seed of a man. And so here this Jesus, it says that he's going, the seed of the woman is the Savior of the world, and he is God with us. And before Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden then, God had to do something. He makes them coats of skin, and a signal is given, and that is God is going to be satisfied and not going to be satisfied the work of man's hands. It's got to be, that is, when they made the fig leaves, clothed with fig leaves, and I've seen fig leaves and they cover you just fine, but they never please God because it's man's work, and you have to come God's way, and God's way is the shedding of blood of his Son on the cross. The animal skins was God's clear way of saying, showing to Adam and Eve that the only way to teach humanity, the only way to stand before God is in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So sons, and then sons are born to Adam and Eve. And here we have the first sons, sir, first brothers, Cain and Abel. And you know the story of Cain and Abel. Here's Abel, he's a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And it simply is, Abel came God's way. Cain came man's way. Abel was saved and Cain was lost. And in it all, it is because you don't get blood out of a turnip and out of a beet. And that's what Cain was trying to do. There's no blood in those vegetables, but in the flock and the giving of the lamb, the blood to shed and the accept and the offering is accepted. And so these have Abel. And then you come to Genesis 22, and you have the striking picture of her Abel. Abraham is going to take Isaac to the Mount Moriah, and he's going to sacrifice him to God. And when he gets there to do that sacrifice, and by the way, Abraham believed with all of his heart that God would raise him from the dead. But he didn't have to sacrifice his son. There is a substitute. And the ram caught in the thicket, and that is the sacrifice. But when Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross, there was no substitute. And he paid the price, the full price of it. Or look at the picture in Exodus 12. We have the same thing with the teaching of this of the lamb being slain. And God says they're in Egypt, and they're slaves in Egypt. And he's going to deliver them from that slavery. And he's going to take them to the promised land. But he says, before I go, the night before I go, I want you to do this. I want you to take a lamb. And I want you to slay that lamb. And I want you to catch that blood in a basin. And I want you to sprinkle that blood over the doorpost or on either side and on the top. That's a mark of the cross. Way back there in Exodus. And so that's exactly what they did. And that night, God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to be looking. I'm not going to be looking to see if you're nice or you're bad. I'm not going to be checking your sins or anything else. I'm going to look for the blood, the blood. That's what are given in Exodus 12. Listen to it. God tells the children of Israel, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night. I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That's why to this day it is called, the Passover. And when Jesus and God was coming, when that death angel was coming, he was looking for the blood. And God's telling us, I'm looking for that blood. If you're not under the blood of Christ, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in that offering, you're going to die. And I don't mean you're just going to stop breathing. You're going to be in hell forever. And sometimes, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, that's what Jesus told us. And he warned us because he loved us. They said, oh, that's hate speech. That's love speech. The people that hate you are the ones that don't tell you about it, and you end up in hell. The love speech is when we tell you and warn you and you come to Jesus and you're saved and you go to heaven. That's what it is. Keep your record straight. And then we go on into another chapter and we have the blood again. And that's on the Day of Atonement. That's given to us in Leviticus chapter 16. And on the Day of Atonement, all of Israel gathered in their camps around the tabernacle. And then the priest went in and he would kill a goat in this case. And a lamb and a goat, or a young goat, a kid, and a lamb, a sheep lamb is the same thing. It could be accepted by the same way as in a sacrifice. And this goat is slain. And then the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. And God, and this God, blood of the Lamb is for all the nation of Israel. It's for a whole nation. You see, with Cain, it was just for one man. And then in the Passover, it's for a family. And now it's for a nation. See, it's growing all the time. It's getting bigger. And they have a sacrifice. And it's called the Day of Atonement. That blood was shed for those people and was covered. And then you come to Isaiah 53 and you really find out something big in Isaiah 53. You'll discover that lo and behold, it's not going to be an animal, but it's going to be a person. And when you read Isaiah 53, it's about a person dying, a person being sacrificed. Not an animal, not a lamb. And so now we know the sacrifice God has in mind is not an animal, but a man. A human being is going to be the sacrifice. And then let's get to the New Testament. And let's go to the Jordan River. And there's a man there, John the Baptist. He's baptizing in the river. There are multitudes of people. They are believing. They are repenting. And they're being baptized. And that's the way it ought to be. We repent and then we are baptized. And then comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And John stops his baptizing. He stops and he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and he points his finger at him with the multitudes, the hundreds and thousands of people around him. John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Now we know that the sacrifice isn't just a man, but it's Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. He's come and he's going to save his people from their sin. Oh, what a beautiful picture. And so that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, it's that blood all the way through. All the way through, and then all of a sudden here you come to the book of Revelation. And when you sing about that, John has a glimpse of heaven in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And the people are there and they're rejoicing and they're singing. And what are they singing? Well, this is what they're singing. They sang a new song, singing, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on earth." They're singing about the blood. When's the last time you sang a song about the blood in your church? The blood of the Lamb. Don't you hesitate to let them know that you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we have another vision. The angels of God are there singing. And in Revelation 5, verse 11, and he says, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, 10 times 10,000 times 10,000, you're getting to 1 million people. And there are millions of people, and there are millions of people there, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The whole Bible is filled with that blood of the Lamb. Just take, for instance, the Gospels. And when you come to the Gospel of Matthew, the third of the book of Matthew, that deals with the last week in Jesus' life and the crucifixion. You come to Mark, and a third of his book emphasizes the last week and the death of Jesus. You come to Luke, and a fourth of his book is given to the death of Jesus on the cross. And then you come to John the Beloved, and 5/12 of his book, that is almost half of his book, the Gospel of John, talks about the last week of Jesus' life when he goes to the cross and sheds his blood and pays for our sins. And the final book, the book of Revelation, is a picture of the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. Don't you see the heavy emphasis that God puts upon this, about this blood? And so you have to have that blood, and you have to have it applied. That blood in the basin the night of the Passover, if that was in the basin and the death angel came, that didn't mean a thing, didn't mean a diddly thing. But if the blood was applied, when I see the blood applied over the door, I'll pass over you. You say, "How do I apply the blood of Jesus Christ?" I'll tell you how. You redo it by coming to him by faith and ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin, and with his blood to wash away your sins and make you clean and white and clothe you with the righteousness of Christ. And then you can say, then you can rejoice, because this wonderful Savior will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that's what God tells us. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so you receive him by saying, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can and live for you. And thank you, Jesus." That's the meaning of Christmas. Next week, we're going to see Jesus being born. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, you can send the gift through the internet. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place on there that says that you can, a little place on there, and it'll tell you that you can send a gift of money. And you'll use your money in your country or whatever country you're in, and we'll receive it in American money, and we'll pay our bills and go our way. So we need to hear from you. And then if you write to us, we'll send you a little booklet. It's a Bible study. And the Bible study this week is a gift that money can't buy. And so now I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll give you the address one more time so you'll be ready. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying today that you bless your people everywhere and that you comfort them. We just thank you for the multitudes that are praying that prayer, for you to come into their heart right now. And we pray that we know you'll give them peace and joy. Lord, we pray for the shut-ins, and we pray for those that are weary, and we pray for those that are lonely, and we pray for those in prison, and we pray for those that young people and even the children. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia, and that you'll comfort their hearts and let them know that we're praying for them, and that we're so proud of them when they make their stand for you even unto death, and it makes us stronger and encourages us. And so just be all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So now you got out your pencil and paper and you write to us. We have to have your gift. We have to have your help. If you think this is something worthwhile, then you need to support it. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you know that your money is safe and safely given. So we want to thank you, and God bless you all. And we hope now that you'll have a good week preparing for Christmas, and that you'll get some of your friends, maybe if you got any, and you can rejoice with them. And then next week we'll talk about, why did Jesus come? He came to demonstrate the love of God, to show the love of God. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.